Welcome to the Resilient Kids podcast. I'm delighted to be back here sharing with you conversations with parents that help you to be the best parent that you can be. I would like to take this opportunity also to say thank you to all of those of you who have been listening. And in the 12 weeks since we have been on air, we have managed to get ourselves into 12 different countries, which is absolutely exciting. So let's sit back and enjoy this episode of the Resilient Kids podcast. So kia ora everybody, this is Raising Resilient Kids podcast and we're episode 8 tonight and I'm here with Bailey. Bailey, would you like to introduce yourself?
I'd love to. My name's Bailey and I run the family adventure travel page on Instagram called Spirit and Guts.
Fantastic. And would you like to tell us about your family?
Sure. So I'm married to my high school sweetheart. We've been married for getting close to a decade now. And we have two little girls. One is 3 years old, getting close to four. We call her R. And the other one is just over a year old and we call her Q.
Lovely. Thank you very much. And I've asked you to have a think about what you might be interested in talking with me about today. Would you like to share that?
Yes. Yeah, so the thing that has been present on my mind, I think, since my oldest was, 18 months old, has just been emotional intelligence. Mm-hmm. And I know that can mean a lot of things. And so to me, that means knowing, being as comfortable as she can, feeling the feelings that come to her, and then knowing like what to do with that.
Yeah.
To just function and be happy and all those things and be healthy.
Absolutely. That's such a really important thing, especially in the world that we currently live in. The ability to be able to, manage all the different parts that are changing quite a lot for a lot of people. And so if we can help our children to learn how to manage themselves in this way when they're little, then, oh my gosh, doesn't that really set them up for a fantastic future?
Yes, it feels like a gift.
It is a huge gift, Bailey, and I really admire that. So what do you already know about it? Because I'm sure you've done a lot of exploring.
Yes. Well, I actually went to graduate school to study it.
I'm trained as
a marriage and family therapist. Mm-hmm. So I kind of got a two-year intensive graduate school experience trying to, I guess, figure out what to do with my own and how to help other people deal with their emotions. And so that was a really great start, but I'll admit that even on the tail end of graduate school, while I felt like I learned an extraordinary amount, I still wasn't entirely sure like how mm-hmm. to teach a child emotional intelligence. Mm-hmm. So I have done a lot of research since, my oldest kind of hit that age range where I realized that, some kids have a more chill personality and mine does not. She is a firecracker, has a very strong will, just really big feelings. I think she's more on the sensitive end of the spectrum, which to be fair, I am as well. So I'm sure there's some genetics at play there. Mm-hmm. She's been a really exciting opportunity to know that I needed to do this. So what do I know about it? I feel like just in the last couple of months, I've like really turned this corner where both her and I are getting it. And it's been a great example for me to know what to do with myself too. So kind of the things I'm focusing on teaching her and making sure that she knows and hears regularly and explicitly are that it's okay to feel whatever the feeling is, mad, sure. sad, frustrated. Mm-hmm. And it's important and it's her, it's each of our own job to decide how we behave when we are feeling that way. Mm-hmm. So there's ways that are okay and there's ways that are not okay. So mm-hmm. throwing things, hitting people, mm-hmm. Those are not okay. And then we talk about ways to help let our body feel those things that are okay. So that might be taking a breath. It might be taking some space, having a snuggle, reading a book. Mm-hmm. I think that's a constant work in progress about, you know, what we can do when either of us is, one of us is feeling upset. Anyways, and then the other things I'm really trying to like be explicit about are my emotions are not her responsibility. That's something I think that generationally in my family has not been made explicit. Mm-hmm. And so it feels so important to me that she knows that. Yeah, that's kind of the...
Well, I think we're so lucky to have you not only having done all the study, but get this really good insight for yourself, and so that you can help your children as well. So you've talked about the idea of separating or naming emotion, right? So the bit before that is to recognize it, isn't it? To know and to understand what it is that we're actually feeling and being able to put words to that. Mm-hmm. And then you also talked about the idea of her deciding or you deciding what you're going to do with it. And, mm-hmm. You know, I'm sure you know the chap, Martin Seligman, talking about locus of control, the sense of being able to know that you have some agency in your behaviour. And so that's just such a powerful thing that you and she are learning at the moment, that mm-hmm. We learn these behaviours, don't we, and really when we're really young, and that often it's just a habit in our brain, and so we just go there so fast. So what are the struggles for you? And I know that that's, you know, it's hard to talk about these things, but it's such a gift for people to listen, to know that we're all kind of normal and none of us are, you know, perfect.
Yes, absolutely. I'm very imperfect still. Yeah, I mean, so there's a lot of struggles, I will say. One of them being like me learning how to do it, mm-hmm. as I'm also trying to teach her. And so I'm trying to view that as an extra learning opportunity that, you know, like even somebody, you know, some imaginary person that's perfect at emotional intelligence, like we all still make mistakes. And so I just do my best to, you know, I think the last pieces of the like kind of the equation we try to use when one of us is upset is that after we have our time to calm down and we're feeling calm, then I always try to have that moment of reconnection.
Lovely.
So coming back, talking about it explicitly, hey, I got upset. Mm-hmm. I yelled. I'm really sorry I yelled. It's okay for me to be angry, but it's not okay for me to yell at you. Next time I'm going to try to catch myself feeling angry earlier and mm-hmm. do something like go take a break or take some breaths so mm-hmm. that I can come back and talk to you when I'm calm. So I will say the sort of struggle is that might happen more than I would like.
Yes.
And I just view it as chances for both of us to mm-hmm. practice that.
Absolutely. And when we think about, you know, parents who are often sleep deprived and so busy in today's world, if we can master this with our toddlers, imagine how fantastic that's going to be for the rest of our lives, but also for their lives, right?
Exactly. It's a lot of work up front, but I think it'll pay off for both of us as we go.
Yeah. And so what do you think that you notice that you have to pay attention to?
I mean, in terms of myself, because mm-hmm. it feels very much like the work I'm doing is like modeling it. Mm. And like the more that I model it when I get upset, then that's like the teaching.
Yeah, fantastic.
And so I feel like my job has been to just like keep noticing as early as possible when I'm getting triggered by something she's doing. Mm-hmm. And part of that for me is, I think I think we're like finding out in the mental health field, like how many of us are people pleasers. And so we have grown up learning to let people push us past our boundaries. And that's when we get really upset in a way that, you know, tends to be expressed inappropriately. So I'm really trying to notice when my boundaries getting pushed before that point so that I can say, instead of just, I don't know, like tonight, the example was she's sitting on the counter, which has been a rule that we don't, you know, kids don't sit on the kitchen counter.
Yeah.
Sometimes if I'm like overwhelmed or busy, I like let it go. But right, like it's my job to notice that is triggering me. So I need to draw the boundary now and be present for her feelings because she wants to sit on the counter instead of letting her do it until I'm so upset that I can't be present when she needs help co-regulating.
Yeah.
So that I'm not totally sure that that was exactly an answer to the question that you actually asked me.
So you were talking about noticing her behavior so that you can act early, right? And you've got some boundaries that you have in your family that it's your job to uphold.
Exactly. Yeah. And doing it before I get too upset.
So. Yeah. And so I guess the question, and I think, you know, people want to know how to do this, right? So how do you notice your tension inside of you that's rising? And so at what point do you have to start to pay attention?
Yeah, that's a good question. I like wish I had a really clear answer to that. It would probably make my journey a little easier. I think the like first thing that comes up for me is that I just, my like first thing that I'm getting triggers is that I'm getting irritated with her. Then I'm, you know, like she's just like chatting with me and all of a sudden that's annoying. And like every little thing she does, I start feeling like I want to nitpick it or control it because she's not doing this other thing the way I want her to, even though I haven't made that explicit.
Sure.
So I start like controlling all the other things. So that tells me that I'm getting past, or that I'm already past my boundary.
Guess that's really lovely, I think. And to help us with the next question I usually ask is, so what do you notice before you notice that? And so this becomes iterative so that you do, just as you said, you can start practicing noticing a lot earlier your own internal whatever it is.
Yeah, I wish I had the thing that was before that. I think maybe that's what I'm still in the process of figuring out on my healing journey.
And I think that's exactly what it is, that we're becoming more aware of our own self. And certainly, you know, I've had moments in my life, not recently, not too recently anyway, where I've behaved in ways that I haven't been particularly proud of. And it's the ignoring of that sense of the tension that's rising in yourself and myself. And then being able to think, okay, so what's going on here? And being able to kind of like observe yourself in the middle of the conversation.
Yeah, it's like being very aware of your experience, like all the time.
That idea of being completely present.
Yes,
don't we wish we could do that?
Meditative constantly.
Yeah, so what do you think would help us to be able to stay in that present state more often?
I don't like this answer, but I feel like it's just practice and and like a sense of humility and recognizing when you were not present and apologizing, you know, doing that reconnecting bit, and the step of like what I'm going to do different next time.
Sure. So that constant learning, I suppose. The other thing that I've been, you know, watching in your posts online is the ability to be able to get outside and play and have adventures and enjoy each other. And so, you know, that, because that releases some of those, you know, that big muscle play releases all of that tension. And so thinking about how do we manage big muscle play for ourselves as adults, apart from sex, and thinking about how do we manage the release of that tension so that we're not just building it up.
Yeah, I think you're hitting on a really important point. that's sort of the background stuff that I maybe do more naturally. And so I don't have to be as explicit about it, but yeah, it's, you know, not just moments where I'm getting upset, but just like taking care of all of our needs throughout the day so that we're having moments of like laughter together to connect in happy ways outside of the frustration, and to, to have especially toddlers and especially high energy and sensitive kids getting enough movement and fresh air and having like yes space, I think is so important, and, which is a huge reason we get outside, because there's just so few rules at the beach, right?
Yeah.
So I don't have to, it's like building sort of, I don't know, emotional bank account is like another word for it, but.
Yeah, I think that's really true. And building into those everyday behaviors, self-care and, just being able to live a life that allows us to be peaceful more than being tense and distressed.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's really cool. So what else do you think that you want to talk about in relation to this?
Well, I'll tell you one win I had recently.
Okay, please do. Yeah.
It was so exciting. It brought me to tears, which doesn't happen all that often. But my husband is such a trooper, and he is, you know, working alongside me in this gentle, conscious parenting journey thing that we're doing. And so he'd gotten upset at our oldest for something. And so then he went to reconnect with her, and, you know, he and I had kind of had that conversation about like, okay, like, how are you going to talk to her about what happened and stuff like that. And, we'd addressed that he was going to go say, you know, I got upset. That's not your responsibility. It's, you know, my job to decide how I interact with you when I'm feeling angry. And so he went up and started kind of like sharing that idea with her, and she like hugged him and goes, I know, your emotions are my fault.
Oh, isn't it just so gorgeous?
Yes, to know that we're breaking that cycle.
Yeah, that's so precious.
Yeah, it was really just like hallelujah.
Yeah, fantastic. That's real gold, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I suppose the other thing that I was thinking about in relation to context is the, the nature of the society that we live in. And so that some people have way, way more pressures than other people in their lives for whatever reason. And so that, you know, thinking through things and being calm and peaceful isn't always going to solve the big, you know, problems of, you know, racism and not having enough money and out economy and all of those kinds of things. And so I just want to put a boundary around, you know, what it is that we're talking about, because we don't expect people to feel happy when, you know, their house has been taken away from them or something.
Absolutely. There is a concept in grad school that I became very interested in. It was the window of tolerance. I believe it was from Dan Siegel. Mm-hmm. And it's the idea that each of us, this is the way I think of it. I'm like definitely doing some paraphrasing here, but the way I think of it is that each of us has a cup, and there's some like genetic and physiological reasons why maybe we each have different size cups. Mm-hmm. But it's like the cup that we fill with stress. And so each of us has some has stressors in there, like kind of all the time. So there's things like dealing with racism, poverty, all, you know, those kinds of things, genetic factors like tendencies towards depression or like illness or chronic pain, and those, you know, fill up your cup to some degree. And then you have some space that has stressors that kind of come and go. So like if there's a baby crying, or you're, you know, driving in a stressful situation or things like that, you know, that can fill up your cup to different levels. And there's some people that, you know, have just a very full stress cup most, if not all of the time. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, of course it is so much harder to be present and do all the things that we're talking about. And that just makes sense, right? Like you can only work with what you have. I hope everyone gives themselves some grace and know, I firmly believe everyone's doing the best they can with what they have, and we're all just trying to take baby steps to be a little better with however we can.
Yeah. And certainly if you're feeling stuck, to be able to reach out and get the extra support. So thank you, Bailey, for talking with me today. Is there anything else that you'd like to add to what we've talked about?
No, thank you so much for having me. I always enjoy these topics of conversation, so thank you.
Cool. And do you want to do a little ad about your Instagram page?
Sure, I'd love to. So as I mentioned, I run the family adventure travel page, Spirit and Guts, where I encourage families to get outside and play with their kids, even toddlers and little tiny babies. We took our daughters camping and backpacking and stuff when they're even just a few months old. I hope that if you're interested in getting outside more, some of this gentle parenting stuff gets included in my space. But really, it's just about parenting in a way that makes your heart happy, that feels intuitive and connects you with your family and makes memories. So yeah. You can find me on Instagram at Spirit and Guts and send me a message and say hello.
Yeah, thank you, Bailey. That's really lovely. So thank you for being here. Much appreciated.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for taking the time to talk with me today and for sharing your fabulous ideas. Remember, if you want some more support, please go to www.resilientkids.org.nz. Reach out. I'm really happy to reply to an email if you're wanting resources and or to pick up some support through coaching or our online parenting course. Go well. Take care. Thank you.